Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Evans Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Now we want to read these, but keep in mind we're reading about Paul's ministry. Paul's ministry. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Mightily. Okay, now, what you're reading about here, what Paul is telling you here, what he's preaching about, is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But in so doing, he defines elements of his ministry that we really need to study. You see, in verse 23, which we studied yesterday, Paul said, concerning the gospel, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He was a minister. He says it again in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister. So, what was his ministry in the gospel? What is the ministry of any minister? Well, according to what he tells us in our text then, we see that first of all, his ministry was a ministry of suffering. His was a ministry of suffering. Again, let's look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So Paul had a ministry of suffering. You know, many times if you look at preachers today, so many preachers have a ministry of ease, not a ministry of suffering. But Paul suffered a great deal. And some of it, you know, you can't just bring the suffering on yourself, but Paul did tell us in 2 Timothy, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and certainly Paul did. In Philippians 3:8, for instance, we know that Paul suffered the loss of all things. He said here, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Anything like his circumcision, like his being in the tribe of Benjamin, like being a Pharisee, concerning his zeal, all those things, his righteousness in the law, all that stuff, he counted all those things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He didn't want anything to get in the way of his knowledge of Christ Jesus. So he suffered the loss of all things. In 2 Timothy 4:16, we find that he suffered the loss of friends. 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul is in court. He's giving an answer to Caesar why he has been sent there. And he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. They all forsook him. So he suffered the loss of all of his friends. Late in his ministry, there wasn't anybody that would stand up and back him before Caesar when he gave an account of himself and his ministry. He suffered the loss of things. He suffered the loss of friends. He suffered the loss of reputation. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, look how even the Corinthians perceived Paul. I mean, he said to the Galatians, he said, what, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He says here to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, 9, I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake. He says at the end there in verse 13, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. So he had the loss of his reputation. You know, today, you look at the photographs of the preachers and they have their hair slicked back and they've got it all sprayed down so the wind can't blow it. And they've got polished teeth or bleached teeth and all the teeth is set in order and their skin just shines so. And they've got on the best tie and the nice shirt and the good looking suit and all those things. Polished shoes, everything just dapper. They're not a spectacle. They're not the off-scouring. They're not the spectacle and fools of the world like Paul was, because his was a ministry of suffering. And I mean, he just plain suffered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where you are, look at verses 11 and 12. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, are naked, buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. Later on, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because he says here that he would fill up in his body the suffering of Christ, he says here that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. I mean, they couldn't beat on Jesus Christ anymore because he ascended, so he offered his own body and they beat on him a while. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. I mean, they nearly killed him. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. That dude suffered. Suffered hard. Now, there are some preachers in our day that have suffered as well. Richard Wurmbrand, Harlan Popov, others that are being martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ, getting beaten and imprisoned for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, man, this is not a cush job. It's a tough duty when you tell the truth. People don't like it. From time to time, we'll get a phone call and hear from somebody who has a superior knowledge of the Bible. You know what I'm talking about. And they just got to tell us their way of looking at things. That's mild, man. That's mild. We don't owe them any compromise to the words of God, but if you tell the truth, people are not going to like it, and they didn't like it in Paul's day. It's a ministry of suffering, and preachers don't want to suffer. I still remember to this day the preacher that I talked to one time who would not preach all the counsel of God because he was afraid there wouldn't be enough people left to pay the bills. He wasn't willing to suffer. Not only is it a ministry of suffering, but it's a ministry of faithfulness. Look in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. God dispensed some grace to Paul to fulfill the word of God in his preaching. And if he had not been faithful to his ministry and calling, he would not have fulfilled the word of God. Now, look at this thing here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks exclusively in that chapter about the ministry. And he says in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God said, I don't care whether you want to do this or not, Paul. You're a chosen vessel. You're going to do it. And so he said, if I do it willingly, then I'm rewarded. But if not, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And he had a calling. He had a ministry. He had to be faithful to it. And he had to get that thing out there. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now I want to ask you a question. Day before yesterday on the radio, I heard one of the preachers that follows our broadcast say that maybe as many as 1,000 ministers leave the ministry each year, not due to retirement, but due to various problems. I want to ask you something. Sometimes it's sin, adultery, alcohol, drugs. Sometimes it's just worn out and discouraged. Whatever it may be, Woe is unto a minister if he preaches not the gospel, because he has a dispensation of the gospel committed unto him. So this is a ministry of faithfulness. The man has to execute what God has given him to do. Paul took it to the extreme. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Why? To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now that's faithfulness. That is absolute faithfulness. He was willing to go to any extreme and deny himself any physical pleasure. He said he'd give up meat and become a vegetarian if meat would offend his brother, so that by his faithfulness he could fulfill the word of God and the ministry that was given to him. All right, not only was it a ministry of suffering and a ministry of faithfulness, it was a ministry of stewardship. Look in verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So God, he had hidden something in prior ages. We'll see that it's also a ministry of revelation in the next verse. So he had hidden something in prior ages, but now he wanted to make it manifest to his saints. And Paul was put in stewardship of those mysteries. Let me show you what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the ministry of stewardship. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Okay? So he's a minister. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we see the summation of these two points all together here. It's a ministry of faithfulness because it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, as stewards of the mysteries of God, in this particular mystery that he is talking about in verse 27 coming up, it is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is a mystery, that Christ, who fills all in all and is in the universe and creator of the whole thing, takes up residence inside of your body and you have all of him. Now, in the Bible, there are seven mysteries, and I'm not going to take the time to teach all of those in this broadcast, because we're emphasizing the ministry of Paul here and making comparison to ministers today. But there are seven mysteries in the Bible, and if you want to know more about them, at the end of the broadcast, I will give you the website for the ministry here, which is www.unknownbible.com. And you'll notice there is a question of the week. And if you click on that, you'll find out one of the mysteries, because that's what we're dealing with now. And then if you go to the archive page, you'll find the other mysteries that we've dealt with. And all we'll deal with seven of these mysteries. It's the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, which is what we're dealing with here, the mystery of the body of Christ, which is what we dealt with in Ephesians chapter 5, the mystery of the rapture, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of Babylon the Great, the mystery of partial blindness of Israel. Those are the seven mysteries. And Paul was faithful. He was a steward of those mysteries, and God had revealed those things to Paul, and he is manifesting and did manifest to the saints those mysteries. They're recorded for us in his epistles. So it was a mystery of suffering, a mystery of faithfulness, a mystery of stewardship, also a mystery of revelation. A mystery of revelation. Look in verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this mystery, which had been hidden in the ages, now made manifest to the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wanted Paul to make that known, and he wanted to make that known as the riches of the glory of this mystery. So it's a ministry of revelation. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 1, we're getting ready to look at a couple of things to show you that the revelation given to Paul was very unique, very unique. Today, we're not going to receive the revelation the way that Paul did, but we'll show you what we do with Paul's revelation today. So it is a ministry of revelation. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll show you what we're talking about. Jesus Christ personally, visibly revealed to Paul these things. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. We've already talked about this dispensation. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby ye, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now the mystery that was revealed there is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. It's the mystery of the body of Christ. That was given to Paul by revelation. Look at it again in Galatians chapter 1. You don't see the preaching of the gospel really take off until you see it given to Paul. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul talks about how he got the gospel, and he says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ personally, visibly, absolutely gave to Paul the apostle a revelation of each of these mysteries. And he preached them. That's a very unique thing. Now you've got people today who are professing to have gotten revelations from God, and they are preaching this stuff on television, radio, and in pulpits and in pamphlets of how they know specifically certain events and certain timing of events that are getting ready to come as a result of what they have been given by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Any supposed revelation today is going to have to line up specifically and absolutely with this Bible, or it is not a revelation. You don't need something coming down from the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. He has sealed it in this book, and this book contains it all. So today, our ministry is not a ministry in the same sense of Paul's ministry of receiving revelations by visions and dreams. Our ministry today is to make plain those visions, those revelations that were given to Paul and given to the prophets. As an example, look in Nehemiah 8, verse 8, and you'll see what we're talking about. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, Ezra the scribe is preaching. And he says, "So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading." So, distinctly, gave the sense, caused them to understand the reading. That's what we're doing for you right now. That's exactly what we're doing for you right now. And that's all that needs to be done. That is the ministry of revelation. Listen, there's a lot of stuff in this Bible that's recorded that you're not going to understand. A lot of stuff in this Bible that's recorded that I'm not going to understand, and you won't understand it unless it's given to you by the Holy Spirit. And that is how the ministry of revelation is being carried out today. The Holy Spirit has to make you understand these things. Like Jesus Christ, when he was here in the earth, he said, "I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast not revealed these things unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes." So we understand these things by faith as the Holy Spirit opens our understanding to the things that are already recorded here. Now the mystery that you're understanding here is Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So take, for instance, a church that says you have to go and receive Jesus Christ every Sunday at communion. That is somebody that doesn't understand the mystery of Christ. Because when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is in you, and therefore you have the hope of glory. That is, that you will be like him when he returns. So you don't need to receive him every Sunday. All right, somebody that thinks that they have to do all these things and then they receive Christ and their death, they don't understand the mystery. Christ is a present possession. He says the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, is Christ in you, not will be Christ in you. And somebody that thinks that, for instance, you can lose your salvation is somebody that doesn't understand this mystery, because once Christ is in you, he will not leave you. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So you see, the understanding of this mystery is something that clears up a lot of heresy and a lot of misunderstanding today. All right, now the next characteristic of his ministry is that it was a ministry of preaching. In verse 28, Paul said, "Whom we preach." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Preach the word." That's the calling, is the calling of preaching, the ministry of preaching. When Paul set out to do his work. He wasn't very fancy. He wasn't very flamboyant. He was very powerful, but he wasn't out to build big ministries and big plants and big church buildings and all that other kind of stuff. He said, "We preach not ourselves." You know, people advertise, "We're the friendly church. We're the such and such a church. We're the compassionate church." All that kind of. "We preach not ourselves," Paul said, "but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." When Paul preached, he said there was a reason that he preached the gospel, because he said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So when you're interested in souls, you're going to preach the gospel, but it's foolishness to the world. He said we preach Christ crucified. And that's what he did. It was a ministry of preaching. All right, the next part of his ministry was it was a ministry of warning. In verse 28 of our text in Colossians chapter 1, whom we preach, warning every man. Warning every man. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, we find this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, we read this. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, Paul preached for 3 years to these Ephesians. And he said, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And from time to time in this broadcast, you'll hear us warn you. We'll warn you about heresies. We'll warn you about false teachers and false prophets. We'll warn you about the effects of sin. We'll warn you about the effects of staying away from your Bible, staying out of church, staying away from prayer. Because that's when grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. That's when heretics come. That's when worldliness comes and steals your affection for Christ. So it's a ministry of warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read in verse 14, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." That's the way Paul preached. Now, of course, people don't like to be warned about things. But you have to be warned. If you're driving in a car, I remember one time Ray Harrington was preaching, and he says, he was out on a Louisiana highway, and Bob Harrington, I'm sorry, and he was out on a Louisiana highway, and this guy was frantically waving his arms about 2 o'clock in the morning. Bob had just finished preaching, coming back from a meeting, and I mean, he thought the guy was going to try to stop him and pull over and do something harm to him. And as he passed the guy, because he was afraid to pick him up, that, you know, middle of the night, he got to thinking, you know, that guy was so earnest and so sincere in his frantic waving, even as I passed, I better see what that guy wanted. So he backed up, and the guy said, "Thank God you didn't keep going. The bridge is out in front of you." And I just found out. My car is over the ledge there, but I, thank God, was spared. And that's a ministry of warning, see? Well, okay, Bob Harrington was afraid of him, thought the guy looked foolish. They'll look at you the same way. Lot went to warn his family about the coming destruction. They said they thought he was one that mocked, so, and it died in the fire. All right, not only that, but it's a ministry of teaching. A ministry of preaching, a ministry of warning, a ministry of teaching in verse 28. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, Paul said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. And then he gives some qualifications. And one of the qualifications is the man ought to be apt to teach. Well, there are a lot of good preachers that can't teach, and there are a lot of teachers that can't preach. It's a combination ministry. Pastors and teachers, Paul said, were the gifts. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we read about the early church daily in the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You need both. Preaching tears up the soul and gets the heart right with God. Teaching is what edifies and strengthens the soul to grow in Christ. When Paul and Barnabas set out in their ministry, they taught and they preached. We read about that in Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. That became the center of Christianity there. Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. You got to do both. But today, you know what the problem is? People don't want the pure teaching of doctrine. And Paul warned us that this day would come. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, who, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." That's the day and age in which we live. Paul saw it coming 2,000 years ago nearly. We're in that day today, so you got a lot of people who are teachers, but they're not teaching every man in all wisdom. They're teaching other things to appeal to their lusts. And they'll heap teachers to themselves. They don't want preaching. They want teaching. And they don't want teaching of doctrine. They want the teaching of the kind that tickles the ear. All right, and then he says it's a ministry of training, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He was trying to train his people to be perfect when they came before the Lord Jesus Christ at a judgment, or whenever they did the work for the Lord Jesus Christ down here. And, of course, that's what Paul told Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:2, as a preacher one time said, it's easy to remember, it's 2 Tim 2:2. He says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the call to preach is a call to prepare yourself and to prepare others, so that they may be presented before the Lord Jesus Christ as perfect men, perfect Christians. And you do that by training. Now, in conclusion, we see here in verse 29 that it's work. Paul said, whereunto I also labor. It's work. Like I said, a lot of preachers treat it as as just an easy street. It's not. It's a job. It's a big job. And he says, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Not only is it work, but it's only possible with God working in the minister. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But without Christ, this work of the ministry is not possible. Which reminds me to say that there are many people today who call themselves ministers who are not saved. And consequently, the work they do is not a labor that produces this type of ministry that you've heard about today, because they are not working in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no man could do what Paul did unless he was. They're just not saved, therefore they cannot produce this type of ministry. Paul's ministry was a ministry of suffering, a ministry of faithfulness, a ministry of stewardship, a ministry of revelation, a ministry of preaching, a ministry of warning, a ministry of teaching, and a ministry of training. Would to God that we as ministers today would be able to carry on the same type of ministry that Paul did in his day. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.